Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're examining earnings season. There's a pretty optimistic note to many assessments. Earnings and revenues look set for solid rises in Q4, in the United States in particular, across many sectors, with some areas like energy, for example, primed for more significant gains. With strong fundamentals and the US economy growing by some estimates, such as the Fed's own, by almost 4% in Q4, we'll ask our panellists what all this means, where opportunity lies, and what this reporting season represents to companies, investors and analysts alike. We start with a US view from David Lefkowitz, Senior Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Wealth Management CIO. David, what does earnings season mean for companies, investors and analysts?
I think it's going to be very important for investors to hear more about the guidance for 2018. And that's because the uncertainty about the impact of tax reform, the tax reform itself creates a little bit more uncertainty than normal. So I think the guidance that companies give on the outlook, especially incorporating tax reform, is going to be something that the market is very keenly focused on. Now, the market always is focused on guidance, so it's not that different than how it usually is. I think the difference now is that there's a little bit more uncertainty about that outlook. And then obviously, the numbers that are reported for the quarter are clearly going to be part of the analysis as well. So it's the normal things that we always want to see. How did the earnings come in? How did the revenues come in? And what is the outlook? But I think there's a little bit more uncertainty about that outlook now because of tax reform.
Hartmut Issel is equity strategist in the UBS CIO. Hartmut, what does this reporting season represent to companies, to investors, to analysts in the APAC region? What are people looking for around earnings season?
What we're looking for, especially compared to the recent earnings seasons in 2017, is probably on the hardware side, the more cyclical hardware side of IT. And remember, IT is now the largest single sector in Asia. We expect a bit of a slowdown there. You know, it's cyclical, so we expect a peak. On the other hand, we think that the less cyclical IT, so especially internet, like the big ones in China, for example, they can still maintain growth above 25%, in fact, throughout this year. Otherwise, we think that in several of the countries, we could see even a bit of an acceleration in banks. So financial is the second largest sector. And here we're looking for further improvements in earnings quality, a trend that has already started in 2017, but should continue all the way through 2019. But we could also see first signs in some economies, at least, of a pickup in loan growth. So having said that, maybe on a yearly basis, quick, yes, we do expect that last year, 2017, was a bit of a one-off with north of 20% growth for Asia. So we're looking for a little bit more moderate, just over 11%. But nonetheless, we think we've broken through that bit subpar trajectory of the last 5-7 years, where Asian earnings growth on average was actually closer to 3%. So we're entering a new trend nonetheless.
For the Eurozone picture, let's speak to UBS research analyst Rolf Genter. Rolf, what does this reporting season represent to companies, to investors and to analysts?
Well, actually, when we look at the Eurozone, I think we're quite confident and also very constructive. I mean, we're just looking a little bit back. I mean, in the middle of last year, we had really good leading indicators. And so, therefore, it's a good, I think, indication for the earnings season. So Q4 2017 should be good, but it should also expand still into the first quarter 2018. So we're pretty positive on the upcoming season.
People are clearly exercised by earnings report season here in the UK, across Europe. But are they right to read so much into it? And maybe, Rolf, give us a sense of what the market tells us.
Well, you know, the market had a really great start into the year. You saw year-to-date great performance. So number one, please do not extrapolate that for the rest of the year, right? Don't take it to multiply and 10, 20 times. But I think it really shows also the confidence is still quite high that we actually have a good earnings season here, that companies delivering on the top line, they're delivering on the earnings. And you see still, you know, the global synchronized growth across all the economies. And that is really helpful. And I think this justifies also why equities, for example, in our view, is still the place to be in this environment.
Rolf Genter. Now, we've spoken around this time of year to you and your colleagues before, Hartmut, and previously when looking at APAC, we've looked more specifically at, say, India or to Taiwan or to China and so on. Is there a particular geographic focus to your current thinking?
Yes, we do. Also look at it from a regional, really country market point of view, because what we do expect is that at least some of the North Asian markets, especially Korea, probably possibly also Taiwan to an extent, where we have a high representation of cyclical stocks and especially also cyclical IT, that here we're seeing the growth numbers not necessarily weak, but coming off a bit. Whereas some other parts, especially of ASEAN, so South and Southeast Asia, we do expect earnings to recover a bit from last year. And as a result, we expect some convergence of earnings growth across the region, where last year it was very lopsided, very tilted towards North Asia. That should, in this current earnings season or even the upcoming 2-3 earnings season, that should start to wash out so that we're converging towards a more uniform growth rate. And then, of course, in South Asia or India specifically, naturally, everybody's looking for a bit of a relief after the pressures from the GST, so the goods and service tax introduction. The economy should start to find its feet a bit better. So also here we're looking for an acceleration, although that acceleration comes from a fairly low base.
So in global terms, I suppose, what should we be comparing with what? Recent narratives have been, for example, how the United States, say, compares to the Eurozone. Hartmut, maybe give us a quick rundown of the regional picture where you are.
No, certainly we think they do play a role, the distinguishing factors in the different regions. Maybe I can just run you through quickly what we think. And in the U.S., we think we're already a bit more advanced in the cycle. So without the tax reform that now actually has passed, we were expecting about 8% earnings growth. Now that almost doubled to 15-16% estimate because of the tax reform. But nonetheless, it is a special factor. Whereas in Europe, we expect a lot of earnings leverage, also from the global economies, that feeds into a much higher earnings growth compared to the revenue. So we're looking at 11-12% earnings growth for the Eurozone. And also in Asia, we're looking at about 11-12%. So if you will, from an organic point of view, the typically somewhat lagging regions, especially the Eurozone and now also Asia, that usually are a bit later in the cycle, that seems to be coming forth. And in fact, the latter two, so Eurozone and Asia, are the regions where we're currently overweight.
Rolf Ganter, when we have this conversation, what should we be comparing with what? So, for example, in previous years, we were quick to compare the United States with the Eurozone, say. Is that instructive?
Well, right now, you know, the U.S. is a little bit special because Mr. Trump had announced his tax reform. So clearly, you're going to see this year a big boost in corporate earnings per share when you look at the U.S. market. We have right now forecast around 15%. If you look here at Europe, clearly in the Eurozone, it's clearly lower. It's probably around 9 to 10% right now, but it's still very, very decent. And we clearly see also across all the other markets that we see, let's say, in general, I would say roughly double-digit earnings growth, which we would see it as not only global synchronized growth in the economies, but also on the corporate front, i.e. earnings front. That's what we really love, and that's why we also have an overweight in global equities in general.
David Lefkowitz, can I ask you the same question about what we should be comparing with what? When we've talked before, we've put comparing the US and Europe front and centre. But David, maybe give us a rundown of the regional complexities as you see them. Or is it all about the US domestic picture, particularly given the recent tax reform program that you've already mentioned?
I think for global investors, sure. It's always important to get the quarterly update and use that in order to gauge kind of where is the best place to deploy capital. So it will, if you're looking at different regions of the world from an equity market perspective, it will matter sort of comparing the U.S. results to other regions. And as we know, too, it also depends about hitting expectations. So we're looking for a pretty robust set of numbers for the fourth quarter. We're looking for 13 to 15% earnings growth. Some of the best numbers, excluding the energy sector, in some time, in a number of years. I think it just speaks to the strength that the U.S. economy had as it exited 2017, and then tax reform is really just icing on the cake as we go into 2018. But yes, I think comparing results across regions certainly does make sense when deciding where to allocate capital.
David Lefkowitz. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look in more detail at valuations. Related to earnings season, Hartmut Issel, you have some interesting thoughts. And if we're talking valuations, Asia is cheaper, indeed across emerging markets generally. There's a value play here, isn't there?
We also noticed that Asia remains among the cheapest, together with generally emerging markets, among the cheapest regions in the world. So we're just close to 13 times earnings. Now the world is a lot higher. Now, we're not necessarily suggesting that the entire gap will be closed. But on the other hand, given that we believe many investors are still a bit in that mindset of the 2011 to 16 period, when really Asian earnings growth was actually slightly below 3% compound, so that was a bit of a disappointing stretch, but we're breaking out of this now sustainably. So this is going to be the second year in a row now that we're double digit, and we do believe that more from a valuation point of view, you know, especially for those investors who are concerned about valuations of stock markets in general, even though we're not overly concerned, but certainly if anybody is looking for a market that is very, very undemanding, you'll find it in Asia.
Anything to add, David Lefkowitz, on valuations? For instance, in the EM space that Hartmut was just talking about, what could be the learnings?
I don't think the earnings season itself is going to give us that much information about valuations. So just putting some numbers around it, on our estimates, the market's trading at about 18 times forward numbers. What's really interesting is that even though the market's up 9%, the S&P 500 is up 9% in the last 2 months, the earnings estimates are also up 9% because of tax reform. So there's been no valuation expansion over the last 2 months. I think it just underscores the fact that, you know, what we've seen the last couple months and this relentless move higher in U.S. stock prices is that the market is now pricing in the benefits of tax reform. So valuations don't look stretched. And, you know, what I always try to underscore is that valuations are really a very poor timing indicator. They don't really have any correlation with the returns over the next 1, 2, or 3 years. So it's part of what we look at when we decide whether stocks look attractive or not. But in terms of trying to predict the next, you know, 5 or 10% move, valuations aren't that helpful, especially when they're not too far away from average. And that's kind of where we are today.
And finally on this, are there any other key narratives for the European picture? Rolf Ganter, for example, will earnings season tell us anything about valuations more broadly?
I mean, we just believe when we look at valuations, you know, our market's cheap. I think we all agree they're not that cheap, but they're also not expensive. We would really describe them as fairly valued. And if you look, for example, specifically in the Eurozone, we clearly see that when you look at historical averages, we still believe there's some juice in there. And so for us, it's still something where as long as the earnings come, I think there should be ongoing strong support at these valuation levels, because as I said, they're not excessive. And also bear in mind, please, we are at very, very low interest rate levels. So therefore, this is not something which really keeps us up at night.
Finally, on the programme, a last word from David Lefkowitz. David, you mentioned relentlessness before. I wonder what could be the bumps in the road, if you will, that might stand in the way of that sort of relentless rise?
I mean, I do think at this point we have now probably priced in most of the benefits of tax reform. So I think we're going to go from a shift from this relentless move into something kind of more normal. And that transition could add some volatility. I think the outlook for inflation is always a very, very important variable that we look at and a lot of the market does look at, because that's going to dictate how quickly the Fed and other central banks begin to tighten policy. So if we start to see inflation picking up a little bit faster, that could be a source of volatility. And I think sort of the kind of more technical picture is that 2017 was sort of the acceleration year in global GDP growth. GDP growth really accelerated all around the world. In 2018, it's going to be transitioning into more steady state growth. And then in that environment, you get some data points that tend to be more mixed rather than solely positive. So probably a little bit more volatility in 2018, but still, you know, bottom lining, Elvis, I mean, I think you're going to see an environment where we have very good growth in corporate profits and inflation readings that are relatively benign. That's still a very healthy environment for U.S. equities.
And that's David Lefkowitz bringing us to the end of this 172nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.